It's time for Gen Con.
Indie Nation listeners, you are about to hear more information from Gen Con 2014.
Indie Nation listeners, this is Lumpy. I'm right outside the Exhibit Center at Gen Con 2014. I'm sitting here on the stage. Mark Gunn just got done performing, and, well, if you listen to me, you know who Mark Gunn is. But, Mark, why don't you introduce yourself just in case they haven't heard of you?
Well, my name is Mark Gunn. I've been called the Celt Father. I do sci-fi drinking songs, Irish drinking songs, Firefly drinking songs, Hobbit drinking. There's a lot of drinking songs in that thing. But it's sort of like rhythm and folk music with a sci-fi or Celtic theme. So it's a lot of fun stuff.
And you were talking about the fact that you've been here before.
Yeah, I've been here since, I think I started in 2007 with my old group, the Brobdingnagian and Bards.
This is my first. I'm blown away.
I love this convention. It is by far the best convention I can think of. I mean, I love my very first convention, which was my favorite for the longest. Unfortunately, it's no longer around or it's coming back. But it was Icon Sci-Fi in New York, Long Island, New York. I love that convention. But they moved, and I don't know what they're doing now. I have no clue. But this convention has regularly gotten better and better. And it's a whole bunch of things. The staff is just amazing. The people are just so friendly, and you know, they walk by and say hi, and it's not like, you know, Dragon Con. I love going to Dragon Con each year, but it's got this crazy, you know, overwhelming vibe, and this doesn't overwhelm me. I tell everyone that this is like my most relaxing convention for one that I work my butt off of.
There's an energy here, but it's also like a big time family atmosphere.
Yes.
Really blown away. Yesterday on the way out, you know, you've got all the cosplayers.
Mm-hmm.
There's two teenage girls, elf and a Viking. And it's just like, you know, I'm kind of uncomfortable. My mom's there. And she said, oh no, go ahead. You know, the dance. Oh no, yeah, go ahead. Give them your Facebook ID so that they can get pictures, you know.
Yeah.
Just awesomely amazing. And, well, speaking of awesome, it was a great performance.
Thank you very much.
I hope the recording came out.
Yeah,
good.
Me too.
But how long have you been doing this Celt, kitty cat, sci-fi, drinking, hobbit?
Well,
you know,
my first real group. Okay, so I started playing the Auld Harp in 1990, into 97, into 98. That's when I first picked up the Auld Harp. In 99, I started with the Brobdingnagian Bards with my friend Andrew McKee. Brobdingnagian. I mean, Brobdingnagian, Brobdingnagian, Brobdingnagian. Backwards, Nightganging Borb. But I started doing he and I were doing what we called Celtic Renaissance. And it was a little bit of Celtic music, a little bit of Renaissance stuff, and a little bit of our own stuff that came together. But one of the songs that became really popular out of that was a song I found on mp3.com called The Jedi Drinking Song. And I took that. Once I started going solo, that sort of was the base of what I was doing was sci-fi drinking songs. And it started in 2008, I guess, and then in 2009 was my first year full-time playing, you know, releasing four albums and
how many albums have you released to date now?
I've kind of lost count because I've done, you know, full albums, I've done EPs, I'm somewhere in the vicinity of 20 full-length albums solo.
Wow.
And that's pretty much been since 2009.
And you know, as a Celtic,
maybe a little bit sooner than that.
As a Celtic musician, I'll go as far as Celtic comedy. Who are your influences? Who inspired you to do this? I mean, because it is,
you know,
a really unique flavor.
When I first started playing Irish songs, I got this cassette called Irish Drinking Songs at Half Price Books in Austin, and it was. I have no clue who the band is. The album's still popular now on iTunes. You can get it there, dirt cheap, or Amazon. It's brilliant. You know, it's a wonderful album. It's like 22 minutes of boom, 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 little, you know, clips of Irish songs that they sing, you know, at a live performance back to back. And that, plus there was a group called the Wolf Tones and a group called the Irish Balladeers. They were out of Pennsylvania. And those are sort of like the basis. A lot of the music that I was hearing, it was also based on it's bizarre to hear some people like Derek Warfield of the Wolf Tones is one of these people who has this horrible voice. It's gotten really good over the years in his recording, but his early recordings, it was just a horrible voice, but it was awesome horrible, you know? And so when I started playing music and playing Irish songs, I would go for this idea of how to create some music where I could sing and not be, I could do something that's already been done, but better, you know, because I feel like I have a better voice than some of these people. And so I'd take some of these songs or their arrangements, you know, the Clancy brothers were a big one too. Their arrangements, I just didn't care for that much, you know, it was really popular, really awesome, but I didn't like it. And I'd take some of the songs and I'd sort of redo it in my own fashion. And that's how I got started with the traditional stuff. Those are my big influence. When it goes into the other area, I mean, I played the auto harp, and Brian Bowers was a huge influence of mostly, not so much from hearing him, because I had only heard a little bit, but most of my auto harping came from just learning by ear, just seeing what I could do with the instrument. So, coming to the gamut. From there, I like, you know, I had a little bit of influence of Enya, a little Kalanad, some Christy Moore. I think those are probably my biggest influences musically. So,
hey, in the Celtic world. This is an internet-based one. This is a podcast interview. So one of the things I want you to get out, where can they find you on the internet?
CelticMusic.org.
And that's your preferred site?
That is my preferred. I have my own website, markgunn.com, but what CelticMusic.org is now sort of my base resource for the three biggest projects I do. My music, the Irish and Celtic Music Podcast, which is, you know, the largest podcast of Celtic music online, and the Brobdingnagian Nagian Bards are now up there as well, my old band. But we're not doing as much these days, but...
I think when I checked, you were ranked number 7 at the Bards. You have been
shot. On that, yes, on Ranker, yeah. Thank you very much, appreciate it.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
More than word yet.
Yeah. Excellent. No, thank you much.
I honestly do play your stuff all the time.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, I love that. So I haven't played that at all this weekend. I didn't even remember to play that. I got a new one.
You got to put the NSW.
I got the new song that I put on there too, on the new album, Sci-Fi Drinking Songs, which is called, it was written by a friend, Robbie Hilliard, who runs the Filk track at Dragon Con. But it's the Jedi Dargle, which is based on the song, Irish song, Waxy's Dargle, or what's that American version of that? I can't remember the name of it, but it's a wonderful song, but it has this great little, it said, my Jedi to your Jedi, we go to the pod races, it says, your Jedi to my Jedi, for the price of my Jedi braces. Yeah, it's just wonderful, it's awesome, so.
You're playing here.
Yeah.
You've got the event tonight, the comedy.
Yeah, Friday Night Live, yep.
And then, what else you got going on in the near future?
Well, tomorrow night I have the show here at Sci-Fi Drinking Songs, which is, the name of my newest album. And it's basically, you know, like I said, I've been doing these Sci-Fi Drinking Songs for years now, and I've been trying to figure out, finally decided to put together an album. I've been doing the show here for like 3 or 4 years called Sci-Fi Drinking Songs. It's gotten really popular. So I said, well, let me go ahead and put together an album specifically with that title. But that's the main thing I'm doing. From there, outside of here, I'm doing Dragon Con. I'm doing a Hobbit gathering in Kentucky, which is this brilliant event. It's one of my all-time greatest times in my entire life. It's a wonderful event. And then I do the Louisiana Renaissance Festival to close out the year.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
One of the things I like to ask musicians, Indie Nation is everything creative filmmakers, which I know you're listening to.
Yeah.
All of them, too.
Yeah.
I like to call it the new media world.
Mm-hmm.
You've got this audio on demand type of thing,
uh-huh.
File sharing. I'm a little bit older. I remember getting newspaper article looking flyers and albums from the RIAA when I bought them that said the 8-track was going to kill the music industry. So, you know, some people really don't like it. Some people, like Jonathan Colton, for example, love it, swear by it. How do you feel about it? What's your take on it?
I have been a big proponent of free music. Back in 2000, the Brobdingnagian Bards, my old group, we got on mp3.com. And mp3.com was a wonderful website because, you know, you could listen and download for free music. And early on, it was really awesome because they paid. You know, you got a few cents every time someone listened to your music or downloaded it. So it was absolutely amazing. When the mp3.com, they got, you know, sued by the big labels, and then eventually it was taken over by the big labels before it was entirely killed, but they stopped paying royalties. At that point, I said, well, what do I do? I said, well, I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep giving away free music because it's worked really well. We've got beta build it. Made a huge rep from this. I'm going to keep doing it. Then mp3.com went under, and I said, what do I do? Do I keep giving away music? Or do I, start hoarding it, you know, holding it on? And we gave away our, you know, we had like 3 or 4 albums at the time. We pretty much gave away the entire albums. You could still, you know, download those albums pretty much for free. And turns out it was the best thing I ever did. I've been giving away music since 2000 for free, and I've literally given away probably over 20,000 MP3s. More than that. A lot more than that. But, because that's actually 20 million. That's what I was thinking. 20 million MP3s. That's what I was looking for. And that's some of that is also from my Irish and Celtic Music podcast, which again is a free show. But it's a lot of it. There was one of our main tracks on mp3.com at the time was a song called Tolkien, which was one of the top 20 tracks before the site went under. And literally, it had over 1 million plays and downloads and such. It was.
Are you still doing this podcast?
The Irish and Celtic Music podcast is still running. It started in 2005 and it's still going strong.
And where would they find that?
Celtic Music. Well, CelticMusic.org will get it there, but or CelticMusicPodcast.com. But yeah. But I love giving away free music, and I consider it an essential part of my entire marketing strategy because I know, like we were talking beforehand, if people love what you do, they will support you. And there are some people who come up to me at shows still and say, I illegally downloaded all your music online, and I'd like to support you now, and they end up buying like all my CDs, you know? Yeah, you're right, actually. I have so much music. I doubt they have all of it, but because it's a lot of stuff.
One last question I always like to ask any creative artist or person, writer, director, producer. Somebody's probably downloading this and listening to it in the future, and they're aspiring to do just what you're doing. What advice or suggestions would you have for such an individual or individuals?
If they're just getting started, well, first of all, I would say go to bardscrier.com. It's a website I put together of music marketing. The music business is an interesting world because, as they say, it's music business. You pretty much need to spend 50% of your time doing music, 50% of time promoting. You can be the best musician in the world. If you don't know how to promote it, or if you don't promote it, it won't go anywhere. More than likely, unless you get dumb luck, you know. Even the bands that are, you know,
those are horrible musicians that promote so well.
Or, right, and that's the flip side. So become a great musician, and while you're at it, become a great marketer. And while you're at it, learn also become a great performer, too, because...
Which you are. I really enjoyed your show.
I heard an interview with Elvis Presley long ago, and he said, you know, you got to put on a show to draw a crowd, you know? And I was like, you know, that was pretty much the thing in my mind since I started playing was how to put on a good show. And I've learned a lot. So, I mean, those are the things that I would suggest is to, yes, become a great musician, learn to write great songs, learn to be able to sing, know your strengths, too, because I know some musicians, you know, they're writing some good filks, good songs, but they're not the best vocalists. Some of that is their recording. Some of that is inexperience. You can become a better vocalist. McKay's in Point is my, you know, old music partner. When he and I started playing music together, I thought his voice was terrible. You know, I love the guy, but But, you know, now he has a very solid voice. I don't consider it spectacular, but it's solid. And now, of course, his recorder skills are amazing. His ability on the recorder, he's brilliant. But and he's a hugely talented musician. So, you know, do that same sort of thing. Is become great at what you do, but then learn the marketing, learn the performance, and then pull all those together and release lots of music. I'm actually a big... Everyone, again, you can go your own route, but my suggestion is to release a lot of music. There's something I read in that book by Malcolm Gladwell, but it mentions the... I'll have it in a moment, but it mentions the rule of 150. Basically, tipping point. There we go. The tipping point. And, you know, it's one of those tipping points where when you record enough music, when you do enough shows, you're going to get to the point where all of a sudden everything comes easier. I found in my life, in my musical career, there have been like stepping stones, and I'm about at the third, my third level. You know, the first being I started playing music. I don't entirely remember what they were, but I know I keep hitting points where all of a sudden it's like, whoa, look at this. There's a whole new experiences and shows coming in, and I'm making a living as a musician, you know? That was one of those tipping points for me. All of a sudden, I could do that. So make lots of music and write lots of songs. Eventually, something's going to be brilliant, and people will recognize it, so.
Is there anything that you would have wanted me to ask you that I forgot? Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think that's about it. I love making music, and I hope y'all listen to my music if you get a chance. So.
One more time, where do you want them to go on the web?
CelticMusic.org. That's Celtic with a C, of course. CELTIC. CelticMusic.org.
And thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
It's been a privilege.
Thank you
very much.
Sláinte.
Indie Nation listeners, you just heard one of a series of interviews and concerts from Gen Con 2014. To find more of these interviews and concerts, check out the category Gen Con 2014 on our IndieNation.fm website. Thank you to those who supported us through Kickstarter, and we're already looking forward to 2015. See you there.